This is the Intellectual Society Podcast. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Jazz. And we present
the real, authentic voice of the millennial Black woman. Let's get into it. This is the Intellectual Society Podcast. Welcome back. We're here for a special edition of the Women's History Month episode. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Jazz.
And we have three very special ladies with us this afternoon.
Ooh.
If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, they're bold, they're beautiful, and they're Black.
Ooh.
And they're here, and they're ready.
Yes.
So let's start with Jasmine.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And we have Melody.
I thought they were going to do a little intro.
Well, hello guys. My name's Melody.
Melody's been on the podcast before.
Melody's been here before. This is Jasmine's first time, so welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Jasmine's a part of the family. And then we have good old Karen.
Yes.
Good old Pearl. Welcome back.
Oh, no. Not Pearl.
Oh, I put it out there. Sorry.
Oh, no. No one knows what it is.
Yes.
We are 3 days away from our birthday.
Woo-hoo.
Me and Karen have the same birthday.
Yes.
2 years apart.
Sister
so
twins.
We ready to go. Ready to go. Last year in my 20s.
Oh. Any plans?
But hope it's your best.
You gotta go out strong.
Yeah.
We're going out strong.
Yeah.
Look,
it's going out with a bang.
It's been quite.
It's been real.
It's been a 28.
You're
20
something.
28 was good to me.
Girl, that means 29.
Them
20 something.
Girl,
yeah.
Hello. All right, so we're here to talk about all things womanhood, as in particular as it relates to being a Black woman in these here 2000s leading into 2020. We'll talk about the ups, the downs, the joys, the victories, as well as the challenges. So everybody's here to talk from their own perspective. And let's do this. So, Jasmine.
Yes.
A resident educator.
Yes, that's my job.
If you could tell us a little bit about what womanism is. We talked about this before on
a previous episode,
if you recall.
We did. So on a previous episode, I think you had said something about feminism. And I was like, F that. I'm not a feminist. You're like, what? What do you mean? And I was like, no, I'm more of a womanist. And so we decided to go a little bit deeper into what that means. So just on surface level, womanism is the movement for where Black women can have Black expression, freedom, community, relationships that are all positive. It started around, let me say the 1960s. So I want to say around the 1960s where it's coined by Alice Walker. And she decided to make womanism when she realized that feminism was using Black struggles as their way to gain social and political movements, in a sense. Does that make sense?
Break it down.
Yeah.
More?
Okay.
So, you go a little deeper.
So feminism, when it was created in the 1920s, was for women can have equal rights as men. But that's not saying women can have equal rights. That's saying to have equal rights as white men.
So that was the suffragist movement.
Yes.
Okay.
So out of the suffrage movement came feminism. So it's kind of like this, you can kind of say this the same terminology, right? The right to vote, the right to work, all of those different concepts came out of feminism, but they were made on the backs of Black women. It's kind of like, let's say all these are our struggles, but white women got all these rights while Black women did not.
Right.
Still having to, you know, Jim Crow laws, still having to use the backs of doors and restaurants. Black women didn't get anything out of this. So that's why Alice Walker was like, what is happening? And at the same time, we're losing our Black men to the government. We can't be willingly giving them away.
Still
with feminism. That's why I say I'm not a feminist and I'm more of a womanist, because I look at like the holistic view and family of Black women. I mean, I care about other races, obviously.
Do we?
I care about other races, obviously.
Okay.
But mine does come first.
Thank you. All right.
See?
You're just kidding. Just trying to throw out there. Spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, like your sister's the one.
Just kidding.
Something.
Thank you, Jasmine, for breaking that down. So today we're speaking from a womanist perspective because we are black women. So taking it from there, we wanted to talk about some influencers and some true heroes in our lives. Black women, dead or alive, present, past, who influence all of us. So, Kara, why don't you tell us who your person, who was your
black influencer. Hero?
Hero is a bit embellished, I think, but we're gonna go with somebody who I think a slight inspiration.
Okay.
For 2019.
For the 99
and 2000s, for the millennium. For us millennials.
I'm glad you heard me say that.
But I was going to put life to Cardi B. I think we can all respect, first and foremost, the hustle.
Okay.
Right? If you know, if you were following Cardi B from the beginning, Cardi B started on Vine. Right, y'all. If anybody remembers,
I remember the video.
I don't know anything about her.
In the age of Vine, Cardi B was putting out Vines. She was on YouTube making skits with other YouTubers, and still in the midst of that, was still in the strip club. And literally, she pushed her way to Love & Hip Hop, and from Love & Hip Hop, she kind of catapulted to the top through the, I guess through her, mostly through her music. But I think what we should highlight about Cardi B is that you can literally in 2019 and from now on be exactly who you are, exactly who you want to be, no cut cards, completely 100% authentic, and still make and still access the same type of funds as anybody else. Cardi B just patented.
Is that the-
Yes, trademarked.
Like, what is occur? Like, it's a word. It's not a real word. It's a word that she came up with and created through the, I guess, the formulation of her tongue. And now
I can't do it.
That is her signature thing. That it was even on her Pepsi commercial. So,
yes.
If we're talking about women, we're talking about starting from the bottom. We're talking
self-made,
kind of just making a way out of no way, like literally a Bronx bird.
Yeah, I know that
too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she probably gonna get like a Hollywood star. So
she's starring in her first movie. They just started taping,
and all this happened since she got a Grammy this year. So I think above all, like what we have to respect for. Not just black women, but all women. But, you know, we talk about black women.
Mm-hmm.
What,
yeah.
What we have to respect about black women the most is the what we have to go through to get where we want to go. And even though Cardi B is unapologetically herself, there's still a lot of backlash that she receives regarding, you know, her personality, the way that she presents herself, the way that she dresses, motherhood, how she deals with her man. All of that stuff. But at the end of the day, you still push through and you can make it to the top regardless. So, I love time for Cardi B.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. I just painted her the other day at paint night. It was so much fun.
Did I not? What, did you go to trap night?
I just went to like Muse Paint Bar. They had a they had a like International Women's thing, and then you could paint Cardi, Riri,
Ariana
Grande.
I didn't know they had stuff like that.
And I did Cardi.
That's cute.
Mm. So props to Cardi making it to Muse Paint Bar right there.
Right.
All right. Jasmine.
Yeah. Oh, this one. I forgot.
Tell us who your influencer is.
Let's see. Do you want to hear about my mom or my...
Whoever you want to talk about.
Okay.
Or both.
Let's start with my mom. So my mom. Oh, gosh. So I think hero, again, I think it's a little strong.
Yeah.
But influencer in my life. She, from the get-go, I think when I learned my mom's story, I think I was 16, I was old, but she had all four of us, there's four of us, by the age of 24?
Ooh. Damn.
Four. One in high school, and two while she was in college.
Ooh.
She finished in 4 years.
Okay.
She became a teacher. She worked in the school system for, I think, maybe 10, 15 years. And then she went back to school and she graduated with her PhD, I think 2 or 3 years ago, despite having a whole family.
Wow. Like, wow.
She That's worked wild. That whole time. She was working while she was in school to get her PhD.
That's a lot going on.
And I look at my schoolwork and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But my mom constantly shows me that despite your circumstances, despite your everyday life, like, you can succeed. Mm-hmm. And she does it every day. Now she can pick and choose what job she wants.
Yes.
She mm-hmm. makes what she wants to make. When she gets tired of her job, she quits and goes to the next one. Like, she drives what she wants to drive. Like, she literally does what she wants. It's because she never forgot what she wanted to do with her life, mm-hmm. despite all of us, mm-hmm. despite, you know, having to nurture 4 kids. And now all of us are grown, and we look back and we're like, wow, mom really did everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Despite mom. Everything. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's my influencer.
That's huge. That's
I love that.
What's up for the mom?
What's up for mom?
I love it.
You gotta meet her soon.
You do. She's amazing.
Is she still in education? Because I'm trying to get a job.
So she got her PhD in higher education. So she works within like community colleges and big
schools. Oh, I can do that.
So, mm-hmm. you should talk to her.
I should.
She has connects.
Connections.
Trying to move up a little bit.
Yeah. Melody, you want to share your influencer?
Yeah, so I have a couple of them. That I kind of either follow on social media, or they're like really popular people who everybody's been following. The first one is Oprah. I'm a huge fan of Oprah. I see y'all's faces. Watching Oprah since I was a child, right. Like that was the face that she, at 4 o'clock. You can give yes, and she was helping not only Black people but white people with their problems too. And I feel like it was kind of the first, at least for me growing up, the first Black face that I could see look like me on TV with this positive image every day. Right. You know what I mean? You got movies, you got TV shows here and there, but she was every day, and she was someone that everybody watched, not just like a particular group, but everybody watched her. And the way that she's kind of risen from, she started off as like a newscaster, and kind of risen to be one of the like most, what is it?
Respected journalist.
Respected journalist. Not only, but the richest woman in America. Right.
Was she like the first Black woman millionaire, billionaire?
Yeah, something like that. But I feel like she's been able to set the stage for a lot of people just on the wealth perspective, mm-hmm. and having money. And so I feel like I have to respect her hustle. I have to respect everything that she's doing. She's a Black woman and owns her own like channel.
Network.
Yeah. Network. Exactly. Whole network. So I'm an Oprah fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oprah.
No, but that's what Melody does too. Melody's in that industry, so that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I agree with you. On the aspect of, we don't get to see ourselves that often
in a positive light.
Yeah, especially financially. That's we mm-hmm. have been like that generation of wealth don't hit well in Black communities. Mm-hmm. So seeing her being able to break that, knowing where she came from,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty dope.
Rags
you know?
To riches.
She still she gets to Africa, she builds schools, she does all that great stuff there. So that's,
you know what she is? A self-made billionaire.
Self-made.
I'm gonna keep saying
we
that.
We do keep saying that because who they're coining self-made out here ain't self-made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we just touch on that real quick?
Go ahead, Kara. Bring it
down. Bring down self-made for us, baby.
Like, we, you know, everybody has such strong opinions about the Kardashians. You can say a variety of different things about each one of them. And, you know, I regardless of how I feel about them, I still somewhat am, what's the word here? Not intrigued, but
like drawn to them.
Not drawn even, just we can highlight their business prowess for what it is. But the fact that Forbes, and it seems like they have this narrative of really just trying to push the fact that Kylie is self-made, and I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because everything that she is simply off the base of her name.
Yeah.
You could go Jenner or Kardashian.
Yeah.
And she still had a foundation to propel herself forward. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that they just really want this girl to be the face of self-made. Not even, you can take about millionaire and billionaire, but just self-made when she's far from it.
Yeah.
But then I posted an article actually on my Facebook about a week ago. I can't even think of the company right now. I'm about to look it up because I think it's that important. But it's another company that they said was actually rivaling Kylie Cosmetics.
I remember that. I've seen it.
And her name is Pat McGrath Labs. And her business is actually worth $1 billion.
Wow.
And it's actually surpassing Kylie's cosmetics. Her name is Pat McGrath. Yeah, she's a black woman.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of her product? What?
Pat McGrath Labs. Oh, okay. That's literally the name of her company.
Let's go buy some.
Yeah.
And she has a she just recently linked in a $60 million deal just solely off of her company. So people don't want to highlight that, but they want to talk about Kylie Jenner.
Well, I heard some interview. It might have been with D.L. Hughley or somebody else who was just like, it was Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon said, I find it really hard to believe that Kylie Jenner has more money than Jay-Z. Mm. Because Jay-Z's on the Forbes list too, amongst. Mm-hmm.
But it's not, they're not highlighting Kylie for her net worth. They're highlighting for the fact that she's self-made.
But then they say that this year, like 2018, she made more than they did.
I was like, I thought it was under a certain age. Was it the age?
I think it's her age.
Yeah,
she was the youngest. So yeah, she was the youngest.
There was an entire list, and she had, according to them, she had surpassed them.
And then they go. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the quantity,
but she was probably touring the world.
Yeah, I was gonna say it depends because you have to think about her family. I'm sure her family has some money sitting under her name too that she didn't necessarily make, but you have to think about
even when we go into stores and we say, even though we might not be buying Kylie cosmetics. There's a lot of us out there who don't look like us who gravitate towards the Kardashians, who always have. I didn't even know their TV show was still on.
It's like season 17.
Yeah. Like, they're still on TV. They're still bringing in that. Like, I can see why people are still fascinated by who they are. Like, Kanye off doing church on Sundays.
I just like watching Kanye's church videos.
Yeah, I'm not knocking product. I believe 100% that. But the thing is about Kylie Cosmetics, Kylie owns 100% of Kylie Cosmetics. And Kris Jenner is the underwriter to that company, so any money that Kylie's not getting goes to Kris.
Yeah,
but as she's in comparison smart. To like Fenty Beauty is not owned by Rihanna.
It is not.
If y'all didn't know,
it is not.
What?
Rihanna ain't. Hold on.
Please, because I'm a Fenty Beauty connoisseur.
Fenty Beauty is technically owned by another subsidy. If I can pull it up.
Because we talked about this the other day.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah,
I need the details.
Because I throw money at Fendi. Like, it's, to me, it's like throwing money at Riri. I can't really do like this to her, so we give her my money.
What? I want to talk about Savage hers then, too.
That's asking the same question.
But they're all, like, trademarked under her name, so you would think she would get something.
Fenty Beauty is owned by Bernard Arnault.
Huh?
What?
Which is he's the owner of Kendo Holdings.
Which is a
parent company of Fenty Core, which is the person who funds Fenty Beauty.
So
maybe she's like a partner. Co-founder.
She's a co-founder. She's probably an operating partner.
I need her to be a majority when she
But literally Kylie owns 100% of the company. So all of that revenue is coming straight to her. Whereas Fenty Beauty, it's like being like channeled.
But I wonder if that's also about what you're saying about her. Kylie's family comes from wealth. They might have had that money to generate that startup.
Exactly.
When Riri was like, I have all these ideas and I want to do something, but I need to find somebody who's going to money.
The capital. Right. Exactly. And that's what makes the Kardashians kind of a little bit different, is because they literally are sitting on wealth in multiple facets, and there's just so many of them.
But what can we learn from that? Because I feel like where we are, based upon where we're coming from, we have more than enough capacity to be doing what they're doing.
We have to band together and remain that way.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. Like, you know, they have a lot of dysfunction, but they're together. Like, at the end of the day, like, they don't split up. You know what I mean?
That's true. Their family is very tight. Yeah. I can't get my family to all sit down and have a dinner together and not somebody cuss out somebody. So, I mean,
they might be having the cuss outs too, but it's just a matter of, like, at the end of the day, the money is the motive.
Yeah. Which is awesome. I think as black people, we have to be able to use our dollars to either fund or support or watch shows with more black people and make sure that we're giving money, because you have to think we're also a minority. If they have, like, white people across the world that are paying attention to them.
Yep.
They're like, what, 90% versus what we are, at least in the U.S.
Yep. Right.
Right. If we're talking about U.S., like, they are majority. So I think as black people, we just have to use our dollars better and be able to support some of those businesses so that we can see black millionaires and billionaires come out.
That's true.
We got, what is it, FUBU coming back out.
Hello.
Yes. What else? It's something else. Baby Fat, I heard, is coming back out.
I might give me a velour suit, you know.
We had talked about that Killer Mike documentary, and we have talked that it had a lot of satire in it. But then when he talked about how, like, black dollars stay in the in black communities for, like, six hours.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. And then I really thought about myself, and I was like, all right, Jasmine, let's track down everything you bought this week. I'm obsessed with Chick-fil-A, eat that all the time, and Target. It's like, a week does not go by if I'm not at Chick-fil-A, Target, and Chipotle. Like, where's my money going? It made me even have a take a step back and think, like, you preach all of these things, but you're not even living out those actions. So it's made me want to, like, figure out what I have to do for myself.
Another thing is using our resources and, like, pooling together and using our network. Because there is nothing that within our own network that we don't provide. You just have to look to somebody, take a little bit of time, send a phone call. Me and Melody, I'll call her all the time. Do you have such and such? Oh, I have this plug, And staying plugged in and really utilizing the network that we already have. Because it's not that far. It's literally a phone call or a text
away. We need a way to communicate, hey, I'm looking for such and such. And then someone can say, oh, I have this person. This is a number. Like, any move we make, there's like, all right, is there a way for us to get a black person involved? Let's figure that out.
Right.
And that's, like, so important.
My friend was talking about... We were talking about properties and stuff like that. She was like, yeah, this mortgage lender, he's great. I was like, oh, he's great. Send me his number. She was like, oh, he's white. I was like, oh. No.
You know, I know too many black mortgage lenders. You know what I mean? So, good for him. But I don't want to use it. You know what I mean? Because I know I met a couple of... We met somebody a couple of weeks ago who was a black mortgage lender. You know what I mean? So we're going to talk to him.
Yeah.
Just off the street. Right. You know what I mean?
And that's what Irish people have been doing for years. Yep. That's what the Russians do. Yep.
Right.
That's what all of these other minorities, Jewish, that's what they all do.
We just have not figured out how to do it.
And we don't have to denounce those other people, but at the same, we can just uplift ours. They say that if you're pro-black, then you're anti-white. And that's not necessarily the truth. Some of us might be that. But at the same time, we can just be pro-black and pouring money back into our own people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All right. Who's your influencer, Jasmine?
I'm a teacher. I can't say any of these words. So I'm going to go with two. I know I had said just one a minute ago when I talked about this. But I was thinking about, like, Yara Shahidi. And I love her. Like... Mm. How old is she? She's like 19 years old. But I've recently used one of her speeches in my class.
Wow.
And her, the way she speaks, the way she presents herself, is what our kids in 2019 need as a symbol of blackness. Like, what does it mean? Because remember that video I sent you earlier today?
Mm-hmm.
That is not what we need. We need someone who's going to teach these kids to be positive, to see that their blackness is not a crime, to be confident with themselves, that you can be pro-black and still get into Harvard. Mm-hmm. Like, all of these facets that I just love about her.
That's right. She does go to Harvard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like,
I forgot.
And she got into the school on her own merits.
On her own.
One time.
You know, and I just love everything about her. I love her essence and just her as a black woman, but also being a mixed black woman. I just love her. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was thinking about her, I was also thinking about, like, Tracee Ellis Ross. Because I love her, too.
I love her.
And I just love her confidence, her essence. Like, I just watch her videos and I'd be like, I can be half you when I'm your age.
Right.
Damn, I'm going to be it. Like, she just loves herself. And I like how she always preaches that you don't need a man to back up who you are as a woman. Like, you can stand. You can be a queen on your own. The man might not come. She says that. Like, it's not that I want to be alone. He just never showed up. But I'm going to just sit here and I'm going to rock out and do what's best for me no matter what. And I love her. Love her for it.
Okay. What about you? Somebody, oh.
Go ahead.
Me.
Go
oh, no, ahead. Sorry. Go, Kaylin. No, I was going to say along those lines, it made me think about Jada Pinkett Smith lately. And how I feel like, the Red Table
show.
Talk.
We stand for Red Table Talk.
Has just been given... life lately.
It's been changing lives, changing careers. Jordan Woods over here getting multi-million dollar deals across the world.
Yeah. And I feel like she knows how to speak to like deep-rooted issues so that people have understanding and clarity. I was watching one of them with her and Gabrielle Union, and they just talked about how they didn't like each other. They didn't know why, but there was just this sense of confrontation because they both weren't mature enough to face each other and just handle it. And I just think about how many times as Black women sometimes we're met with competition with each other when we really need to be uplifting each other and wanting to see each other win. And it's as if a lot of people think that there can't be someone else at the top. I feel like there's enough room for all of us. So I feel like we just have to do a better job at supporting each other as Black women.
Yeah, I think it starts, like, you say support, but I don't even think that sometimes we always embrace each other. Like, I work in I've been working in hospitality for years, and there's plenty of times where, you know, I'm the manager, I'm the person at the front, or I'm the person that they're speaking with, you know, to help them rectify their issue. And I'm approached almost immediately with, like, I don't even want to call it attitude, but it's almost like a sense of contentment. And it's like, sis, you know, we should be, this dialogue or this exchange should be even more simple and comfortable for the both of us, because I'm the one who's standing in front of your face versus somebody else who probably doesn't really want to see your issue rectified or whatever the case may be. But I think that a lot of times we as Black women don't show other Black women just a sense of warmness, saying, hey sis, wherever you are, you know, I can meet you where you're at, whatever the case may be. We're on the same playing field. Let's try to move forward together in this fashion of, you know, I welcome you, you welcome me. And I think that, I think it does come from a sense of competitiveness, where that has kind of been where we've been placed in society, just off of where we even get to like body image and things of that nature, where Black women's, you know, it's always like a race of who has like the better body, or you know what I mean? It's just, I think that's a lot of where it stems. It's just like almost like an innate sense of competition that we have.
I feel like a lot of times in my experience, though, I feel like it's the opposite. And maybe because, I don't know, maybe because I'm approaching my 30s now and I just have a different perspective on a lot of things. And I'm dealing with a lot of people now who are older than me. I just feel like a lot of times it's kind of the opposite. It's like, especially working in information security, like majority of the time there's men. It's male dominated.
Right.
So when you see another Black sister, you be like, hey girl, like what's up? Like who are you? Let me get to know you. Where are we at with this? And I don't know. It's like kind of a reaching back mentality. Like if I see another sister who I know is struggling or someone I know I can help, you know, I just feel like it's an automatic sense of like, hold my hand, girl. Like, we in this together on some us type stuff. Like, let's reach across the world and make band together and make this thing happen.
So, think it also could be,
I think it might be like in the spaces where you guys are.
In the media, I don't think, not even that we're portrayed as if we don't band together. I think if you look at different conversations like Love and Hip Hop or like when you do the reunion and dumb shit like that, I think they, a lot of times the message is portrayed that we don't do that. Like, I'll see a lot of women film saying that Black women don't band together. Not necessarily displays of Black women not banding together, if that makes sense. I think it's a narrative that's been pushed, and I don't think that's necessarily the norm across the board.
So you're saying when the narrative is pushed, that's what we're attempting to see.
And I think that's what we're repeating.
So when it's something that's been presented, then when you see it, you're like, see, I saw, but you know what I mean? Like, when someone presents something to you, then that's the narrative in which you know. So when you see it, it's kind of like, yep, that's what such and such was talking about, so it becomes more prevalent in your brain. Then if you don't see it, because I know for me, when I first started teaching, there was another Black lady teacher, she was the same department as me, and I remember I asked her one time for like assistance. I remember her saying word for word, they hire dress, you can figure it out.
Ooh. Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Okay, sis.
Like, I thought you as being like a senior teacher, senior Black woman in the same department as me, you'll be willing to, you know, help out. But I guess she might have saw me as someone who was younger, who had a different connection with the kids than she had. And I was kept at the end of the year and she wasn't.
Ooh.
But whatever.
But I think it really depends on what space you're in. Yeah. Like, Kayla operates in spaces where Black women are not prevalent.
Yes.
I operate in spaces where there's a lot of us. There's just mm-hmm. a lot of Black people in general. And I've always had to be that, you know, I've always felt like I'm in competition with the next man. It might not even be necessarily a Black woman in that particular instance, but there have been times where it has been me against another Black woman, or we're all trying to navigate a space together and we're not banding together. You know what I mean? It's almost like every man for himself, or it's just like, ooh, what she got going on mm-hmm. that makes her a little bit special, or I saw her over here in this person's office. Wonder what that's about.
Well, what do y'all? Why do y'all think that is? Why are we still in that space at this point?
I don't see. I kind of think it's a generality, because it's hard to generalize and say like Black women are supportive or Black women aren't supportive. I feel like you'll get a mix of both. Right. I've experienced a little bit of both. I've experienced where Black women held me down way more so than anyone else, right. And then I've experienced where Black women have kind of deterred me or put me down in a certain situation. So I can't generalize and say either or. Sure. I just think as a people, we're all we got. So we gotta help each other. You know what I mean? Yeah. So even if it's just one or two based on 20 people who've helped me, that one or two person, had you just been more positive, you know, you never know where that relationship could have gone. But
right. I feel like if you just have confidence within yourself, it really doesn't matter who's next to you. It could be a man, woman, Black woman, Black man, white woman. It doesn't matter. But I think that a lot of the issues that kind of spur out from us are always from within.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's very nice. Okay.
Hallelujah. I mean, that's just in general. Like, whatever, any energy or anything that anybody puts off, that's what's really in you. What did Mommy used to say?
What?
a scripture she used to pull.
He'll be breaking it down sometimes. I want to transition a little bit.
So, out of the heart, a man speaks.
Okay. So, how would you all, and this, let me tell you where this question is coming from. When Caitlyn Jenner became Caitlyn, everybody was talking about, oh, she's a woman now. And the whole transgender conversation, you know, that's a different conversation for a different day. But I think that womanhood is so focused. Like, the whole thing was, oh, he wears makeup and hair now and changes clothes and now he's a woman. You know what I mean? So the question is, what is the true essence of womanhood to you? Like, what makes you a true, what is the true essence of womanhood? I wish you could see. Look, see me on YouTube.
They can see you now, though.
Oh, they can on the YouTube. Yeah. What is the true essence of a woman?
Jasmine. That's hard.
That's really hard to answer.
Let me go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think, okay, so this is going to connect. So when I was a senior in college, they asked me, what is Blackness? Mm-hmm. And it was for a documentary or whatever. And it was really hard for me to answer, because Blackness is, I don't want to say everything, but everything Black people are, do, say, is Blackness. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot define it, because it is evolving, because it is who we are, and it's hard to say, like, this is Blackness and this is not Blackness. And for what is woman, it's hard to describe, because we are so much. You know what I mean? Like, we are nurturing, like, we are life giver. We literally give life.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And I guess, like, maybe that is the essence of woman. Like, that's, we give life to everything. Like, there is no life.
That's my answer.
There is no life before woman, you know? So maybe that's my answer.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'll go. I remember, okay, this is so TMI, but I remember when I got my first cycle.
Okay.
I was 9 years old.
Oh, shit.
Very young. My family, we all get them pretty young.
God damn.
And my mom sat me down and she said, from this moment on, you are a woman. You can have babies. Men are going to use you and they're going to abuse you.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, my mom. You know, you've met her. You've met Sean. She's crazy. And then she said, your job as a woman is to hold on to it the best you can.
Whoa.
And ever since then, that's kind of like how I've lived life. Like,
wow,
holding, holding on forever, like holding on to who you are, holding on to everything that makes you who you are, right? And I don't think I really like let go until I had Maya,
mm-hmm.
just like a little bit. But then I realized I started doing the same things to her, that my mom did to me. Mm-hmm. And I think just like finding your essence and who you are makes you like a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And keeping that and not letting anyone take it away from you, because we are so marginalized in the society that men feel as though they can whenever they want to, but not giving them that power to do it. I think that was my whole essence of womanhood and what it means. Because we're a hell of a lot stronger than a lot of people want us to be and act like. And we hold it down so much and way stronger, right? And but when someone says, oh, she's just a woman. No, that's literally everything.
She is a woman. Right.
A woman.
She's just
sorry. I didn't mean to go too extra, but
that's good. No, what were you gonna say? That was deep. I forgot now.
I think we gotta bring it back to what Jasmine said. Took my answer. That yes. We are the bearers of life. You know, when people talk about, you know, I have my alternative views about what God is, but I really think God. If you had to break it down, I don't think God is male or female, but. Yeah. A lot of, I mean, who God is speaks a lot to what the fuck we are. You know what I mean? Like, we are literally, you talk about Mother Nature, Mother this, Mother that, like Mother Earth. You know, we are the bearers of life. Like, there would not be any life without us. Yeah. And I think because men see the power that we hold within ourselves, even just from a physical and anatomical standpoint, they do whatever they can to try to suppress that power because they know what the hell we hold in our hands on the basis of being woman itself. So I think just the essence of life, that's what it is. Yeah. Essence of woman equals life. That's what it is. And that's it.
I'm trying to want to take it back to the Genesis 1:1. I mean, not Genesis 1:1. The Genesis chapter 4. The God says, Adam, you in this garden by yourself, man. You looking real lonely out here. You not acting right. You not eating. You know, you ain't even look at the whole garden yet. You ain't got nobody to explore with you. Let me go ahead, right? I'm going to put you to sleep real quick. I'm going to take this rib. I'm going to take a little bit of the earth. I'm going to combine the two. And then I'm going to make you a helpmeet. So that you could continue to move on in this earth in a better fashion
than you would have
if you were by yourself.
Okay. Yes.
Because man is not supposed to be alone. Right? So if we take it there, then right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, man.
So I was like, I told you not to eat that fruit. You see that tree right there? That apple, don't eat it. Eve said, man, please. That joint look right. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try this apple anyway. Then she went over to Adam and the influence of a woman said, you should have this anyway because it's good for you. Because I, the woman, said so. And then he tried it. And the entire course of the earth was forever changed from that point forward. That's it. That's all I got to say. That is the influence of a woman. She changed the whole structure up off of an action, right? Mm-hmm. But God knew that man could not sustain himself by himself, so he gave him a woman to help build him up. That's it. You, man, hello, man. You can't do it by yourself. That's why we as women are here for you. You ever seen a man get a cold?
They be crying in the world.
You'd be like, what's wrong with you? They be laid out off a common cold, some sniffles and a cough.
But yeah, we go through childbirth.
Yeah. But yeah, we go to work with menstrual cycles, debilitating cramps. What? Uh-huh. Fibroids, childbirth, natural child. My mama had 3 kids, no medicine.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Naturally, we didn't. Naturally,
that's big. Oh no, I took that medicine.
So did I, child. So
that
did
is.
I.
I got that epidural real quick.
Let's talk about the power of a woman. I mean, we can keep going. Yeah. You know, all of the times where a woman has done something and has changed the course of history. Mm. The world and the world honestly is built off the cusp of a woman. And then ever since, even when God incorporated Eve, she started having children, and that's how the earth continuously. Is continuously sustained. Mm-hmm. The earth is what it is because of a woman. And that's all we need to rest on. All
right. Well, thanks for joining us. Thank you for breaking it down. No,
that's real. Good. Nobody tell me nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
I have the power.
And we need to act like we have the power, though. Yes. Because we be so caught up over these men sometimes and so just...
Talk about it.
Out here, like, we give them so much control to like, control our moods, our emotions, the way our movements and mm-hmm. things we decide to do, we mm-hmm. don't decide to do. Like, sometimes I sit back and I be like, damn, Jasmine, how different your life would be if you didn't do what someone else wanted you to do. Like, if you woke up and decided, and you, when you wanted to do something, you did it, and you didn't be like, nah, he ain't gonna be for it. He wanna do this, he wanna do that, but I'm gonna... Like, just how different our movements would be if we stood up and we controlled ourselves more. And we cut out this, what, like, being submissive all the time. I'm not, nothing's wrong with it. That's the life you live. But my thing is, don't submit to the man that can't lead you. So, just,
Well, just rest in yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. And at the same time, I mean, but you can't fault yourself for the things that you have done in the past, because that's essentially what brought us to where we are right now.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for those decisions mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I made with those men in the past, I would not be the motherfucking force that I am right now.
We wouldn't have created this podcast that day.
Exactly.
We both were going through what
I remember that day.
Based upon those dumbass men that we were dealing with.
I remember that day.
Right. Look at how we are now. Because of those. Because of that.
What'd she say? She started singing MJ. Just a little bit of Michael.
Okay. Right. But look at where we are right now. But I want to shift gears just a little bit. So, if you had to say, dear black man, and you had to tell him what I need from you to better uplift me and empower me as a female, as a black woman today. Dear black man, I need this from you moving forward. Because we have a lot of male listeners.
We do.
Who are very vocal about
we
what
do. It's very and we weird love y'all. Sometimes.
But dear black man, like, this is what I need from you moving forward to continue to uplift and empower me as a black woman as we walk together in the perpetuation of the black diaspora. What would you have to say?
Oh, man. Any takers?
Go ahead and start, Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine. Jasmine did not have an answer.
I try to hit y'all with surprise sometimes.
I was just saying,
I'm like, you know what? Why don't you start? You know why you need to start? Because you're the only one in here in a healthy relationship with the black man.
Jasmine's in a whole serious relationship.
With a good black man. He's a good man. He's a good man.
Let's talk about it.
You're right, though. You're right. What do I need to say to... We don't say names on here. So my black man. honestly, I am extremely ambitious. And I feel like in my past relationships, it has been a deal breaker. Like, it's been like, whoa, you're too much. Like, this is, like, you want to be this, like, that. This looks like it's too much for me, and I can't deal with it. But in my current relationship, it works well because his dreams are just as important as my dreams. Like, we are both going to make it to our end goal individually and together. And that means that when it comes, because a lot of times, so I want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of times, men look at that and they're like, we don't have them kids. Like, when can you get married? Like, when can all these things happen? But in my mind, like, my end goal is I want to be a doctor. And all of those things will come. But if I'm not with someone who believes that those things are going to come in time with me reaching my goals, it is not going to work. Mm-hmm. And I need that from my partner. Like, I need you to see and believe in my ability as a woman to have it all. And if you don't believe I can have it all, this is never going to work.
Love it. Believing in you. Because sometimes as women, we kind of get sideswiped into the side. And a man's dreams always take hierarchy over ours. And then once we start having those kids or whatever, my mom tells me that all the time. She's like, girl, I used to work at the World Trade Center, but then I got pregnant with your sister. And then it just, ugh. And then we kind of forget about ourselves. So I love that you're like standing up for what you want and you're not willing to compromise for that. Like, I love that.
And thank God the world has progressed past the place that women have to be in the home, because
they can't. You know why it's progressed? Because they can't afford for us to just stay at home.
Right.
I wish they could.
They sent us out.
I'd hang up. I'll go ahead. What you need? No, I'm just
kidding. You would call us in 5 days.
Yeah, no,
I gotta get out. I can do that for a short period of time, but not
for long.
I mean, how many times have we heard that story from our own mothers where they said, you know, this is what we were doing, we got married to your father, we went a completely different direction, and I became a manager of the home. And
yeah,
that I never hear them say, that's really what I wanted to do.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Or they say that I should have went back, or they should have switched the narrative at some point, but they never did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a lot of regret.
That's mm-hmm. really true, because when I had Amaya, I didn't work for a year and a half?
I didn't know that.
After I had Amaya. And how the tables turned when you're no longer like financially mm-hmm. able to take care of yourself, and you're like leaning on someone else to be that breadwinner for you. I learned so much. I was like, oh, I'm never doing this again. But I don't understand how women have just, I don't know if you've done it, wonderful, that's what you want to do, great. It was not for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this can't keep down. I can't be 23 years old living my life this way. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It seems like it kind of takes, at least for us growing in this age where we are so independent, I feel like relying on your mate to that extent takes away, it seems like it takes away your independence. Mm-hmm. It kind of takes away your power. Not for everybody, but I feel like for me,
yeah,
I feel like I couldn't do that either. That would be too much for me to give up.
It's just like total dependency.
Yeah.
Like I really gotta trust you.
Yeah.
That's one thing my mother was very, I'm her only daughter, she was very adamant about that. Like, I don't want you to ever be in the place where you are completely dependent on anyone else, but especially the man that you're with.
But like, isn't that sad though?
Yes, but
you know what I mean? Like, to really sit back and think about, at least in my previous relationships, to really give 100% of your trust to somebody to take care of you totally, with no dependence whatsoever on anything that you have. Like, why can't we do that?
It's giving me anxiety thinking about it.
It's great that she said that. And I think we all have the same mentality, but it's kind of sad the fact that we do think like that. Because we've been let down on so many occasions. I know our dad is probably the only man that I've ever seen or witnessed, or your dad too, who's been like 100% just man provider taking care of the family to where you could really relinquish all control and allow them to do that. But
then they also on top of that have to be pulling in that type of capital.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Especially in 2019. What does that and really look like?
That's a hard
thing. That's a lot.
And I think it's because things have gotten expensive too.
Right.
It's just that's expensive true. To live, especially once you have kids in this area.
Yeah.
Tell me you gotta be really pulling in.
You know what I've been saying since the beginning? 7 figures.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what if you had to say, what was the question at hand?
Dear
black man, what would you say, Jasmine?
Oh, me now?
Yeah.
Excuse me. I would say, okay. So a lot of people think that I'm very hard. Like, I've built so many walls. You know that. Like, I've built so many
emotional walls.
Emotional ones that I don't know if they're ever going to fall down ever. But I would say, know that we all want to have that emotional connection, and we need it. Like, that's my biggest thing, is just having that connection where I want you to be vulnerable with me, and then me being able to be the same way back to you, and it's not used against either one of us. Does that make sense? Because
mm-hmm.
That's my whole thing, is just being there for me emotionally, letting me be there for you emotionally. Black men have this wall up as well. Like, they live their life like nothing bothers them. And this is why we are not dependent on them anymore. Because then they go around and do some dumb stuff that they shouldn't be doing, because they don't feel like they can trust us as well. Like, trust me as much as I can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be my number one thing right now. Like, open up, be a person, and let me be with you, I guess.
Let me love you.
Right? Let me be your partner. Like, bring it in. It's okay.
Kara.
My black man. say, I said this in the relationship podcast, but it's the same. I think it's the same narrative. We are not the emotional. We are not the dumping place for your emotional baggage. Ooh. Handle that.
Mm. Before you come over here.
Listen. We get it, right? We've all been through areas of trauma in our lives, right? Some of us have resorted to therapy. Mm-hmm. Some of us have resorted to the Bible or other beliefs or, you know, maybe just read books and you've just grasped information to help you continue through those situations. But yet and still, I see a lot of Black men who have deep-rooted issues from childhood, adolescence, early adult years, whether it's you have issues with your father or your mother or abandonment. Maybe you at one point you were incarcerated. Maybe you were in a life that you no longer participate in. Whatever the case is, there's no way that we can take on yours and ours. If I am going to continue this plight as a Black woman and remain strong and present and, you know, and progressive, then I can't handle your
shit.
Detriment. Your shit. I can't. So when we get to that point where we're like, look, what you got going on is too much for me to take, and you say that I'm less of a woman because I don't want to deal with your mess, that has nothing to do with it. It's okay. You. It's not me.
And we have to be honest about
it. But that. I still love y'all. I'm gonna be honest about this.
So I think, I don't know about where I saw it, but it said one thing that we need to address is toxic Black families. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me a lot of like young Black boys and things that I see being in DC so often, that our Black boys from a very young age are taught just, you know, rules of the street, right? They don't show emotion. There's no fear. Women ain't this. They're not that. If it's not your mother, you don't love her. Like, all of these different codes, right? And then it's kind of like, you have to navigate that yourself in some aspects, because I'm not going to be the one where you take all your aggression out on. And then now, once it's over, I have to reevaluate myself as a woman.
Exactly.
Because I think that's another thing that we've, like, all been through, where men are insecure about who they are.
Right.
And then they put that on us to kind of prove to them that they are man enough. But if I don't do that good enough for you, then I'm left feeling like I'm not woman enough anymore.
Right.
Like, my womanhood should not be... It should not circle back to your manhood.
Right.
Like, those should not be together in one issue. So, I mean, I get that.
Nor should I be trying to figure out what entails you, what you need for your manhood to be stroked. That's not even, it's not my responsibility. Do I have to maintain it? Like, do I have to nurture your ego? Not even your ego. Do I have to nurture the person that you are as a Black man?
I shouldn't have to be molding you.
Yes. But do I have to, like, should I be constantly, like, trying to, where am I getting at?
Kind of like mold, assess. Like
a mold?
Figure you
should
out.
Should I have to be constantly trying to build you up so that you can feel
alright? I mean, we should be uplifting one another and empowering one another.
Yes, but at the end of the day, that's first starts.
It's recognizing yourself.
That's true. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
We're here to cultivate you, not to parent you.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Yes, right. Cultivate, not parent. Right.
I like that saying. I'm about to use it.
What would I want a Black man to know? Is that what the question is?
Yes.
It's interesting. I agree kind of with that, what everybody said. I just think that just us as Black men and Black women, we just got to do better at just supporting each other.
Okay.
And just rooting for each other. And sometimes it when I see Black men have negative like connotations with Black women, it can be very like disheartening, because you came from a Black woman, your roots are Black, like everything about you is Black, and for you to say like I don't find Black women attractive, or for you to kind of fall into this sinkhole that everybody else wants you to fall into, it's kind of like you need to be stronger than that. You need to kind of see past what the media is trying to get you to believe, because you may like little Susie over here, but Susie's trying to get a big butt like me.
Well, Susie only wants you for your corn.
Susie's trying to
divorce your ass.
Right. Susie wants the next
baby.
Yes. Right. Susie baby. Over there getting Botox so she can have lips like me. Right. Getting surgery so she can have nose like me. Right. So I just think that I just wish black men would just really kind of think more critically about what is being passed down to them. And I think that's a whole, that's music, that's media, that's education, that's your family, your mom, your dad, whoever's been giving it to you. I just feel like I wish they would just think a little bit deeper.
Yeah, they all want a foreign. That's what my kids always talking about. I'd be like, what
they
is
want a,
what?
Foreign?
A foreign? I'm like, what is a foreign?
A car?
Wow. No, a foreign girl.
Woman.
Oh.
A woman. I'm like, Asian. Blasian.
Something that's not crazy. Us.
A Hispanic.
Yeah, because I hear that. I hear that narrative all the time.
So like, ooh, like, my daddy from Jamaica and my mama from England. Ooh, girl, you foreign.
Is that what that means?
Or like, they got Jasmine's hair, but it's, you know.
It just be a mess.
You know what I mean? Like, they just want them to look a certain way. And that falls into a certain category. That's it.
Because they come with all these, like, preconceived notions about what it means to be a black woman. We're all rude. We're all negative. Yes. We're all this. We're all that. And, like, no. Like, how often have you met one of us? And I actually kind of hate it. Because it's like, you come from a black woman. Is your mother that way? Or do you just see the other women that you see outside that way? Like, what formed that narrative for you? Is it the Love and Hip Hop's? That is a conversation with my nephew. My nephew is 21. And my nephew loves a white girl.
That's it.
Like, ooh, loves a white girl. My nephew loves some white girls. And I asked him, I was like, why? And I hope my sister doesn't listen to this. But she was like, he was like, I formed my opinion of women off my mother. I
said,
like, oh, wow.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, so that's another thing that I've been, like, digesting recently, like,
wow.
So these black men who are seeking other women, is it because they're coming from a place of hurt with their own mother? And now they're taking that out.
We can't talk about the mamas.
It's an area that we need to digest. Like, these black boys are not being raised by their fathers. Their mothers are maybe absent because of work, other obligations, that they might not have a positive black role in their life. Like, I think that's something that we do need to,
so
like,
I'm gonna go the extreme opposite,
be critical with,
and get something that's the complete opposite of what I see.
And maybe that's what I'm going to be happy with. I don't know.
I sometimes think
it's a concept.
So I have three brothers, and we have this conversation all the time. My youngest brother is very attracted to the other, whatever that is for him. And sometimes I think that because my mother had to be so hard on them as black men, they now look for women who aren't going to be hard on them. So they want, like, the person that like sees them as a black man but doesn't really understand what it means to be with a black man in this society. You know what I mean? Okay. So they want them to just let them do what they want and live the life that they want to live, and it's okay because they don't really understand the magnitude of what that life means. So he's not looking for another black woman to be like, no, you need to get your life together. Like, no, you can't do this. Like, no, when you walk outside the house, like, this is what it means when someone sees you. They don't want that. They want the easy way, which is the other sometimes, most of the time.
That's an interesting perspective.
I never thought about that either.
Before. But when you really think about it, if you think about a black man, then you, like, if you think, then think about that black man's mother, then is that the representation they're getting from? And if we met some of these young men's mothers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was talking to mom about this not that long ago. Just being out, you know, now that we're in PG, you know, there's a different element of the black mom. Some of these black moms are just mean as fuck.
Yeah.
They are so mean to their kids.
Yeah.
They cuss at them.
Yep.
They hit them in public. They embarrass them. Yep. And it all for the sake of trying to be, you know, the disciplinarian, but they're not speaking to them or dealing with them on a human level and acknowledging them as little people. They're people. You know, they have real emotions and they
no, that's true.
They need to be nurtured and to be taken care of. Sure, they need to be disciplined, but at the same time, you have to reach them in a different perspective. Cussing at your kids is not
a lot of people come from.
Right.
How many times people talk about their mamas, especially black people?
Yeah.
Like,
mom, bust me down. Melt me down.
We didn't get all that. Whoop our ass or anything like that. But there's a lot of people whose parents used to literally whoop their ass. Belts. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they, at the time in their childhood, they didn't even see a problem with it.
Right, right.
They thought that was the way that things had to be. Mm-hmm. So if you adapt that same narrative, I mean, you kind of understand why they feel
the way they feel. Why you would want to choose another. Exactly. Not saying that your mom was like
that.
Yeah,
no.
But I remember I went into the store.
But I remember I went into the store recently and I saw a little black boy. I think he got like the wrong cookies. Like, so I remember me and Maya was in the aisle. He got the wrong cookies and he brought them back to his mom and she called him. She was like, "You big ass dummy. You never do anything right." And like, so he walked off to get the right cookies and I see him in the aisle and he like has tears. He's like literally in the grocery store crying because he still couldn't figure out like which cookies his mom wanted. And he was like scared to death to like go back to her.
She probably would have whooped his ass
in the middle of the store. If you can call your son a big ass dummy in the middle of the store where other people can hear you, and that it was nothing. And I was kind of upset because there was a black man with her, so I'm like, so this is norm, like you're okay with her speaking to your son like this. But it's like, yeah, you got to make them hard. You got to make them tough, right? That narrative.
It breaks them down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And kids are the most vulnerable humans. And they receive and they reset. Their perception of everything is so strong.
Right.
Jada is a sponge.
Oh, God.
A sponge. Ooh. You know what I mean? Certain things that she perceives, you didn't even realize she was paying attention.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And these are the very times where these actions are being embedded into them. And that they're going to perpetuate until they're human. I mean, until they're grown adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now we have a problem. And we're wondering why.
Yeah, but it's a circle. It's like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's like one mom does it to their kid does it to their kid. Yeah. And it keeps going. It goes back to what you said. It's like sometimes it's all about everything that we give out is about what's inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so although they're putting that out to their kids, most of the time it's because of the stuff that they're dealing with, whether it's stress, whether it's the dad, because obviously he has issues if he's allowing that behavior to happen.
Right.
So it's just a really sad...
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
You don't realize what necessarily is wrong. But I tell you, one of the best things that I could have ever done for myself was get in therapy. And I just think... A lot of times you guys have these health insurance plans and they cover it and you don't even know it. And I know it's expensive, but there's a lot of free resources. I know PG County, Bowie, City of Bowie has free therapy counseling sessions. You just got to enroll in the program. And when there's space, you go for free. And if it's not free, then they'll put you with one of the people in their network. And I think it was like $30 or something. So I was looking into it at one point. But then I realized my insurance pays for it. So I just think black people, they get in therapy. It's great. You can pick who you want.
I need to go.
My therapist is a black man, and I was just like, look, if you were my life a year and a half ago, things won't happen.
But he's amazing. I see him twice a month. I pay $30 a session because of my health insurance.
And it's amazing. It has literally changed my outlook on so many different things. And we just got started at the top of the year. So I think that's something that everybody definitely needs.
I'm going to look into it.
Yes, black, white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what color, your gender, get in there because you got problems and you don't even
you
know.
Got problems. Mm-hmm.
But this is the one thing I want to say to my black man. Dear black man, I'm taking a big deep breath. I want you. I don't need you. I want you. So give me what I want. Don't give me what you think I need because I don't need you. What I want is I want bomb ass head consistently. Okay.
Yo.
I want you to travel the world. And I want you to do things for me that I can't do for myself. That's it. Let's do all the fun shit. All the other hard shit will fall into place. Let's get this money. Let's pay people to do all the hard shit. Let's create and get this money and travel the world together. And that's it.
That's all. Duh.
That's all.
All
right. You sound like Little Kim. She was like, remember that song? She had Rule Number One. I'm showing my New York real quick. My bad.
That's all. Anyway,
that's all.
As we come to a close, ladies, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
It's important for us to take a step back and to realize who we are as women and the power that we have, and to express and to communicate that to men so they understand what they have.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We're necessary.
And we're here for them. None of them said that we didn't want you around.
We love black men. Mm-hmm. Yes. We always say that on the podcast. Ooh, yep. Here she goes with the beard. I like my
small. I like my beard. Go ahead, tell the people what you like.
My men dark like Duce. It's Cardi B.
I like them dark with beards and a little hefty.
I like a man with a little meat on his bones.
Mm-hmm. You know,
tall.
I like a man with a little credit.
Oh my god,
that's all that matters.
A lot of money in the bank account. A lot of money in the
bank account.
Call me, y'all.
You call me whatever. That's what I like. Pockets fat. I like a little tight ass too.
You know okay, little squeeze. You know what I'm saying?
Get me in the gym. Take me to the gym. What'd she say, Jen? Something wrong with her.
I'm trying not to choke.
No, that was a bit too much.
Okay, anyway. Okay. Any closing words, ladies?
Thanks so much.
Glad we made it out here today. It's been a wonderful discussion. Mm-hmm. Glad we could be a part of it.
Of course.
All right. Until the next time, we love you.
Peace out, guys.
We need you. Subscribe, like, follow.
Hit all the buttons.
And read a book.
Read a motherfucking book.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Intellectual Society Podcast. Join the society. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, YouTube, and IG at Intellectual Society Podcast.
Revolution is about change. In the first place, the change begins is within yourself.